Welcome to the Unicorn Mindset, where we explore the reasons you are choosing not to be the badass unicorn you are. Whether you're seeking to find inspiration as a leader or just want to show up as your authentic self, stick around. It's time to show the world your horn. I'm your host, Nicole Malcolm, and I'm an entrepreneur and leader, but most importantly, a recently proclaimed unicorn. Happy Monday, unicorns. I am pretty excited to talk to you guys today about the episode topic of limiting beliefs. The reason, though, is because this is the concept that has taken me years and years to really grasp and be comfortable with, because I have a lot of limiting beliefs that I have battled for a long time, some that I have healed from and some that I'm still healing from. So I wanted to take a second and kind of share with you guys the things that I do to help through this process. And maybe limiting belief is something that is a new concept for you. So we're going to talk about that too. But stick around. I definitely want to make sure that you guys can understand that there are things going on in your brain that are not your fault, and that are just kind of how we work, but there are ways to overcome it. So let's talk about what is a limiting belief. So a limiting belief is actually something that we have been either told, or we have evidence that has happened in our life on something that we can't do. So it's limiting our ability to do something. And what that really means is, like, let's say as a kid, maybe you weren't great in math, right? And so you had a teacher that told your parents all the time and you that you would never be able to be financially stable because you can't do simple math. Okay, so that's something that was spoken over you, time and time again, that you started to believe. And maybe it was because you got poor grades in math, or, you know, maybe it was because the teacher decided they didn't like you, or, you know, maybe they genuinely helped and felt like they kind of got to a point where they needed to bring it to light that this might be something that will hold you back in life. So it's usually something that we believe to be true that is limiting us from our full potential. Okay, so there's lots of ways that this happens. And you know, as we're growing up, especially if you go into the public school system or into the school system at all, which, you know, most of us do, it begins early because we're tested, we're ranked, you know, all of these things. There's competition, we're told lots of different things we must do in order to be successful. Everything is kind of defined and mapped out for us early on what success looks like. And there's not a lot of wiggle room on truly what that means and allowing us to be individuals unless you fight back against it. Okay. So here's what I mean. Even today, in the industry that I work in, all of our employees are ranked. Okay, like that's how we gauge our company's success. And I'm not saying that that is wrong. I'm just saying that it continues into your adulthood. So this is something that you have to continuously be aware of and work to overcome. And that's also what creates the comparisons that we always draw towards each other. Instead of looking at us of yesterday, we look at the person next to us. So I just want to make sure that we understand that this is a normal part of life that happens, and it's not anything to be ashamed of or feel like, oh geez, of course I'm letting myself down. Like, don't do that to yourself. I just want you guys to kind of challenge yourselves to be curious about what limiting beliefs you could potentially have. Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about how I worked to really overcome a limiting belief of mine. So I very much believe that because I was a female, I was not going to be taken serious as a leader and someone that could develop and create an empire. And this was not because of my employees, because of my employer. That was not where this actually came from for me. This actually came from my upbringing and how I was kind of viewed. So it was never an option for me to take the lead in things as a kid growing up. And it wasn't, like, even when I would, like, I was in student council, for example. Instead of going for student council president, I opted to go for treasurer because of this limiting belief that I couldn't lead people passionately. even though who actually was elected president was a female. So in my mind and in the culture that I grew up in, women being strong, independent leaders by themselves was not an option. That's not a thing that happened. There was always a man, you know, a male counterpart, multiple counterparts, whatever it might be. So doing it on your own was absolutely unheard of. So this is a limiting belief that I'm working on still. And I can tell you guys too, I mean, this is not a one and done process that I'm going to share with you. These are things that have been ingrained in your life and in who you are as a person from the jump. Okay. Like, it's been there a long time. It's not usually something that someone said to you one time that you shrugged off. Usually there's evidence in your life that continues to prove it to be true, right? So there was evidence in my life that proved that these things were true. In the sense that I looked at leadership in many facets of my life. So in school, at home, in my family businesses, all of those things. And not a single one of them had a single strong, independent female. And maybe that happened before I was old enough to kind of recognize it. That's possible too. But I saw more often than not a woman standing on her own in a leadership capacity wasn't normal. Like, it wasn't the norm. And it's still not the norm. It's not the norm in society. And really, it shouldn't be that way, right? So for me, being someone who is very much so driven by the success of the people around her and helping them find that success, as well as someone that takes great pride in helping people uncover what they're most passionate about, and overcome opportunities and obstacles and, you know, truly having that servant leadership style, it was hard for me to accept that this was something that I could do, right? I could do this. It is possible. And so when I kept having doors slammed in my face and shut down a lot, I just accepted it as normal. It wasn't because I had something I needed to work on. It was more like, oh, that's what I expected. Right? So I had to start flipping the narrative and I had to start thinking of breaking a mold. Okay. And that's what really kind of changed it for me back in 2013 now. So 10 years ago, when I really took the opportunity to hear what was being said to me and listen to the things that were there and start to recognize that it had nothing to do with me being a woman. Not at all. And that I didn't need a male counterpart to be successful. Okay. So this really kind of like flipped for me about 10 years ago. And this was because I was passed up for a leadership position. And it wasn't the first time, wasn't the second time. It was the third time I was passed up for a leadership position in my company. But I was great, right? Like, I was super successful and really good at the job, but that doesn't make a good leader. Just because you're good at the job doesn't mean you're a good leader. I'm going to say that one more time. Just because you're good at the job does not make you a good leader. Okay. So I had to really take a second and look at myself and understand what was going on. So this is kind of what I did. So if you're taking notes, take notes. If not, and you just want to know, like, geez, I'm not alone. You're not alone. Okay. We all have these limiting beliefs and things that hold us back from being truly amazing and extraordinary beyond belief. So just bear with me. So to overcome it and really start to step into who I am as a leader and who I wanted to be and what I wanted my personal brand to be as a leader, I had to actually think about where did this come from? What evidence do I really have that this pertains to me? What evidence do I have that I can't stand on my own as a strong female leader? It doesn't make any sense. So I had to understand where all this is coming from. And then I had to decide if it was true. And like really decide, is this true? Is this something I'm going to be battling with the rest of my life? Or is this something that I've given more power to than should have power over me? And that's where it was. It's not true. There is so much against women in general, especially women in leadership roles, as far as like, oh, we're too emotional. That one's my favorite, let me tell you. We're too emotional. We can't make tough decisions. We are oftentimes messy and unreliable. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. Every person can be every single one of those things. Your gender has nothing to do with that. That is everything to do with who you are, how you're raised, the kind of person you are today. And those are all things you can overcome. You can learn to be on time. You can learn to be organized. That is all stuff that you can learn and overcome. So I had to understand first, what the heck is it? Where did it come from? And do I have proof that it is truthful? Okay. After that, I had to own the reasons and like what it provided me, right? So like, let me make sense. So I had to own, what did this actually provide me in my life? Okay, so it protected me a lot of times from failure, because instead of going for student council president, I went for treasurer, which was a position I knew I would be able to get because of my accounting background. So I knew like, okay, yeah, I could get that position because I'm super good with numbers and no one will even question it because it's not a leadership role. So it did protect me in certain capacities from failure. Okay, so that's kind of what it had always provided me, this belief of not being able to stand confidently, independently, and lead on my own. But I also had to own the fact that I used it as an scapegoat to avoid the hard things in my life. Okay, I leveraged every teammate I had around me, every leader I had around me, to fill the gaps where I chose to be inadequate. Yeah, I said that right. I chose to be inadequate because I chose not to learn and strengthen my skills. Okay, well, for me, that all changed when I went into my newest position, because I had to fill those gaps on my own. I had to understand where those things were. I had to seek out the help to grow my skill set, not to do the job for me. And so I had to push myself outside of that comfort zone. But here's the thing. After I took a second and said, you know what? Yeah, I let this continue and it's not serving me. It's not making me the person I really want to be in life. I had to challenge the thought every single time it came up. And I tell you what, you guys, it came up a lot, like so much. It was ridiculous. Like I wouldn't take on challenging roles to be in a leadership role, which now, if you know me at all in my life, I'm not one to shy away from a challenge ever. But it pushed me away. Like it kept me away from things that make me feel stronger, feel powerful, feel like I can lead and I can encourage people and I can serve people in a way that is genuine and true to my heart. So when that thought comes up, like, oh, that's not for me, let me go for this position instead because it's easier, right? It doesn't have as much challenge, or I won't be judged because I'm a female, or, you know, I'm going to fly under the radar over here. When those things would happen, I literally had to stop myself and say, stop, because you are a woman. That means you can be the voice of other women in the team, in the group, in the experience. Because you are a woman, you have a different perspective. Because you've been in that boat, you can provide empathy, right? Some of the strongest leaders in the world are empathetic leaders. They're not dictators. We tend to take down dictators in our world and judge them wholeheartedly. But empathetic leaders and people that are compassionate and can understand, those are the most motivating leaders we have, because they understand and they meet you where you are. And so that's the challenge that I kind of gave myself every day, was, why are you taking a back seat in this? Is it because of this limiting belief, or is it because you genuinely are missing skills that you cannot obtain through doing it, right? I'm a learn trial by fire, right? Like just chuck me in, I'll fail fast, I'll fall on my face and jump back up and dust myself off. But if I'm avoiding something, is it because I know that I'm going to fail everyone else because I just do not have the skills or the time or the capacity to really uncover those skills in the process? and there's some work I need to do before I can take that on. To me, that's acceptable. But if I'm not doing it because of the limiting belief that I'm a woman and I can't stand on my own and that I need someone else to support me, then I'm failing myself and I'm not actually failing anyone else. By me not doing it, odds are I'm actually limiting their abilities, because I know I can help. I know that I can serve others. I know that I'm capable of being a compassionate, empathetic leader. So it does get easier. I can tell you it has gotten a lot easier for me. It's been about 6 years that I've been working on this. And I can tell you right now, I've taken on some of the biggest challenges of my life in the last few years. And they've hands down been the most rewarding and things I would never in a million years have thought that I would do. And I've loved it. I've loved every second of it. It scared the hell out of me. Don't get me wrong, but we can't let fear win, right? If the change scares the hell out of you, and you don't take action, then you're letting fear win too. And that's like just taking your potential and your dreams and reiterating to yourself that they don't matter. And you're letting that limiting belief win. So often it's easier to accept that you're just not up for the challenge than to really kind of challenge why you think that and try to understand it and really dig in. Most people are like, meh, it's fine, and we keep meandering through life. But if you truly want to change your thoughts and change your mind and who you are, understand that most of these thoughts are not your fault. Okay? The origination of the thoughts are not your fault. The perpetuation and the fact that you continue to let them live in your mind is your fault. So you have the power to change. Every single person in the world has the power to change.
If you are joining this journey with me to empower yourself and others, I would love for you to subscribe and leave a rating with a review. Until next time, unicorns, I'm your host, Nicole Malcolm, and I hope you decide today to be unapologetically you.